This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Shoved in there good.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 100.
Oh, shit.
I should have cleared that first. And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 150 Bedtime. For Monday, February 15th, 2021.
Week of the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. This week makes 3 weeks in a row we've recorded a podcast, and we're going to talk about some dinner time conversation between Kelly and I.
In this week's crazy news, we're going to talk about a pitchfork wielding home invader, a bad hair day, a homemade guitar, snowman, a plastic surgery gone wrong, and a binge eater.
Good shit. Wow, you said the right episode number too, because last week I believe it was episode 148, and I
screwed that up, and I didn't know what you were talking about. You're like, no, we already did that one, and I didn't realize it until after I was editing it, and I got to the very end. I was like, wait a minute, 148. Everything is screwed up. That's fine.
Sorry, I let it go.
I'm lucky to be alive some days.
You know, I woke up alive.
Yeah, you feel better today. You got your second poke?
Yeah. No, I don't get mine. It's Kelly got hers on Wednesday, and yesterday she felt pretty. No, Tuesday, Wednesday, she got it. Yesterday she felt pretty shitty. So and so, just so everybody knows, it's Friday evening.
I thought you were sitting at home feeling bad.
No, I was just home. I had stuff to do. I had a doctor's appointment and stuff like that. I get my second shot on Monday. So when the day this episode comes out, I get my second shot.
Oh, so that was a picture of Kelly. See, I didn't have any feet. And she changed her picture like you. And then I was so confused.
Yeah, no, that was Kelly.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So yesterday she felt like shit. So she was sitting next to the fire in the great room.
Yep.
With under a heat blanket with her coffee.
With Finnegan.
And with Finnegan on her lap.
I see a fluffy Finnegan.
Yeah, I was at work.
Oh, she was doing that. Okay. Something seemed off. I was worried. I almost called you to say, hey, if you're not feeling good, you can skip today, but I'm glad we didn't.
No, I feel great.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, this is, you know.
If I'd known it was Kelly, I wouldn't have cared as much.
By the time we record episode 151, I will have already received and hopefully recovered from my second shot. So
yeah, I don't think everybody feels bad after it. I don't know. I haven't gotten anything.
Most people. I'd say most people do. Yeah. Is what I'm noticing as I am running into people who have gotten the shots. But anyway, what do we got going on? We have an episode.
We do?
Of the Two Bobs to record, episode 150. Wow.
It is. I'm double checking on the website to make sure that was correct, because I want to make sure you didn't lead me astray. You didn't. It really is 150.
No. I'm not bullshitting. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, you know what we do when we do episodes, especially the 150th?
Usually we drink beer.
I'm glad you recognize that. I didn't want to feel like I had to tell you all this time. You remembered.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? I'm a sharp one. This week, we're going to our friends at our friends. That's how we say it in the Midwest. Our friends at New Holland. And this is a new brew of theirs. It's the Peanut Butter Poet.
Oh,
a Peanut Butter Poet from New Holland. Now you had the original Poet, and I've had it before, but never on the show. But you had it back in episode 27. Rob loves Game of Thrones. You had the original Poet from New Holland. This is a new spin on that, and I must say, quite a delicious spin on the new beers. And what it says here, it says Brewer's Best Series 2021 number one. So this is one of their first beers, new beers that they're brewing of the year. It says, combining two classics for one delectable treat, we took our classic oatmeal stout, upped the ABV, and loaded it with real creamy peanut butter. The result is a rich and velvety, full-bodied brew with nutty sweetness to amplify the Poet you know and love. Quoth the Raven, more peanut butter, please. I have a feeling the Raven didn't say that. That's all right, though. It says limited release, premium and unique. Our brewers explore and experiment with distinct flavors and premium ingredients so that each sip tells a story of creativity and craft that's meant to be shared from our hearts to your fridge. This is Brewer's Best. It's 10.6 alcohol by volume, and I've had some, and I already rated it very favorably on Untappd, and I'm going to drink some more so you can get my live reaction. First off, notes of peanut butter, faux show. That's good. Very sweet. Peanut butter, chocolatey finish, I would say. Definitely some malt. Nice and creamy. A little bit of booziness. That's all right, though. That's how we like it. So we like our Imperials. And delicious beer. 4 3/4 on Untappd.
You did that on purpose.
Wait, I was at 4.5. I forgot. Wait, hold on. Which one did I? I feel like if I didn't rate it 4.5. But I mean, it could very, very well be 4 3/4. It's a really good beer. Like I said, nice and smooth, sweet. Get that peanut butter finish. And well done from our friends at New Holland. We've had New Holland's another one of those breweries we've had so many times on the show. I'm not going to go through every single time we've had it.
We list it.
But I got a couple more from New Holland as well that'll be making appearances in the next couple weeks. So. Pretty exciting.
That's good. The times I've had them, they haven't disappointed. So if I can find any of that, I'll definitely pick some up.
Yeah, it's really good. No complaints. This was a one-off. So I built a six-pack at Bush's over by my office in Rochester Hills. And this is one of the beers that they had there. So I'm glad I picked it up.
Sounds good. This week, I'm going to go to somebody that I have not had any of their beers before. And they're actually not that far of a drive from me, and I've been wanting to go down there. I used to have I had a friend that used to work there. He since does not work there, so I've wanted to go, and I finally saw them at the store, so I would go ahead and grab a batch to try. And this is the Virginia Beer Company Elbow Patches Oatmeal Stout. So it's not peanut butter or anything special, just the oatmeal stout, and I'm excited to try it. The website tells us the roasty, creamy, and chocolatey, an oatmeal stout to be enjoyed with breakfast, lunch, dinner, or any time in between. A smooth, velvety base sets the stage for pronounced aromas of chocolate and coffee. 6.2% alcohol by volume, 26 IBUs. Won a whole bunch of awards in bronze, silvers, and bronze.
Winter, summer.
Yep. Available all year round. In the six-pack, which is what I got, which is the 12-ounce can, and you can do it on-site, all that stuff if you want to go there, and I will some days. So I'm going to take a sip and tell you what I think.
I feel like when I said winter or summer, that was an Olympics reference. I feel like you didn't pick up on it.
I don't watch the Olympics. That's dumb.
I do. Every couple of years, though.
Right.
I don't watch it all the time.
I only feel like I watch it every 4 years.
Maybe.
Sometimes every two.
Four, five years, maybe. Depends on if there's a pandemic or not.
It's good. I like the flavoring in it. It's got a little bit of coffee, a little bit of chocolate, just enough of a mix. Typical oatmeal stout, but it's definitely up there. I rated it a 4. I like the flavors a lot. It's not overpowering on the alcohol. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm glad I got 6. I'm going to hopefully get back and get some more of them. So highly recommend it if you're able to get the Virginia Beer Company Elbow Patches Oatmeal Stout.
Yeah, it sounds good. I should have picked, I think that the Peanut Butter Poet's available. I think it's a 4-pack. I might have to try to track some more down, though. Although I think I might have got 2 of them. Because it was just like one of those I looked at and I'm like, I'm really going to like that beer.
Yeah.
It's New Holland. It's peanut butter. Yeah, so I think I got 2. But
some breweries, you can do that where you know if it's like New Holland, or there's a couple of them where you know if it's one you haven't had, you can just go ahead and get the 4-pack or the 6-pack, whatever's available. But some of them, if you haven't had them, then that's when I tend to do the make your own. And I thought, okay, I'm going to just do one of these, because I've gotten some in the past where I thought they were going to be good based off of the name.
Yeah.
And yeah, they weren't that hot. But from a New Holland or Founders, any of those solid brewers that you can get from, then just typically just go ahead and get the full 4 or 6.
I agree. I mean, there's just some brewers that are not going to make a bad beer. And yep. So, you got to get the trust.
Yeah.
Yep. Trusted beer advisors.
Well, beer's not getting any cheaper. That's the problem.
No, that's for sure. Especially since, you know, everybody and their brother wants craft beer these days.
That's true.
Cash it in, which is, you know, good for them. But all right, well, three episodes in a row.
Yeah, finally. Seemed like it took forever to get three in a row.
Well, there's the holidays and, you know, and stuff comes up and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, you know, there's just, you know, I don't know. We've been doing this more than 150 weeks, let's just say. But we're 150 episodes in. But, you know, that's all right.
It happens.
It's all right. You know, you got to, we have lives, we have families and responsibilities and stuff. Speaking of which, so. And of course, you know, we do like to make it known how many, for Kelly's sake, how many episodes in a row we've recorded.
She was track.
Yeah, but speaking of Kelly, so kind of a funny little story here. So the other day I'm on my way home from work and I'm hungry.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering what's for dinner. But this is the problem. And I'm talking to Kelly on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not good with saying things eloquently.
Yeah.
So I'm a guy that just like says things. I say it how it is, and I don't like to sugarcoat and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to Kelly.
Get to the
Kelly's
point,
a little
right?
bit different. She's my wife. You know, I gotta be respectful. So I asked her. I said, "Listen, how can I ask what we're having for dinner without making it sound like I am?" Setting the expectation that you should have had dinner ready for me.
Right.
Like, because that's not it at all.
With the apron and stuff.
I'm wondering. Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, like, you know, did she cook dinner? If not, like, I'm curious as to what we're having for dinner. Are we going to order out? You know, and
do I need to pick something up?
Yeah. Do I, you know, and sometimes she'll say that. And then I'll say, and, you know, and we make that happen. But so anyway, so I said, I don't know how to. First, I think she told me she had some choice words for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I'm like, you know, that's not me. I'm not a guy. When I walk in the door, I don't, you know, flip out if dinner's not made. Like, you know, that happens. But anyway. So she responded, well, the way that I should word it is by saying, what do you think we should do about dinner? Or what do you think we should do for dinner? She goes, because that way it implies that I'm involved in this process,
right.
Even though I rarely cook dinner. but that there's also not that expectation that she has dinner prepared. And like I'm soliciting feedback for what she thinks we should do. So I said, no problem. What do you think you should do about dinner? And then she.
not what she meant.
No. And then, you know, after she said some other things to me about that. We then, who is at my door right now?
Mm-mm. It's probably Ellie Listener. We haven't called her yet.
She's wondering. Oh, Amazon. It's just Amazon.
No, that's fine.
Hey, Amazon. Oh, so anyway, what I did though is, because, you know, as I do, is I made a keyboard shortcut on my phone.
Yeah.
That when I type in ampersand dinner, it automatically types out, what do you think we should do about dinner? And I send it to her every single day now. So today I did it. What do you think we should do about dinner? And her response was fuck off.
So
I can't win. You know, I'm trying to be respectful.
Yeah. You did what she said.
Yeah, I do every day. I text her the exact same thing. So now it's kind of a funny joke, but anyway,
that is true. You got to be careful with that. I mean, if you're home, you could at least, you know, it'd be a little softer thing. But when you've been gone all day, it probably does come across as a little bit different. But, you know, I think in her case, she should just know that that's what you mean. No matter what words come out, it should mean, what are we going to do? It's always the we.
It's the we. Even if I, you know, my involvement at most is usually ordering something, but that's okay. So
it's lost in translation.
Yeah. Also, my leg hurts. Let me ask you. You go to the doctor.
No.
And sometimes, like, so Wednesday I went to the dermatologist. Right. I have this, like, on my thigh. I've had this, like, little
nodule.
Birthmark that's been there since I was born. But lately, it was just kind of getting, like, kind of itchy and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I think, so I'm like, all right, I better go to the dermatologist, right? So I go to the dermatologist. And let me ask you, when you go to the doctor, yeah, sometimes, you know, especially if it's a dermatologist, their answer more often than not is, oh, that's about, that looks funny, let's just cut it off.
Yeah, let me dig it out.
Yeah, so, but let me ask you, like, I would expect, like, some sort of, like, anytime somebody's going to take a blade to me, I want some sort of consultation. Like, not, like, you know, let's talk this through. Like, I'm not going to say no. If it needs to go, I'm here for a reason.
Right.
And then there was that, then there was a bump on my head, too, which is just like, a, you know, and, but anyway, I get there, I tell the doctor, you know, and first off, it's already awkward. Because I get in there and then they're checking me in. She's asking me all the questions in the room. She goes, okay, well, we'll just do a full body scan while you're, or full body, you know, whatever, massage, while you're here. I wish. and she goes, I am like, no problem. So she goes, all right, you're going to get completely naked except for your underwear. And she gives me this little paper to cover myself. And so I'm laying there.
Yeah.
And first, I thought she told me to lay down. So the doctor walks in then and is like, yeah, sit up. What are you doing, asshole? So
this isn't that kind of place.
So he's like looking. He's looking at all the things. He's lifting things up and you know. And so he goes, oh, you know, he looks at the spot. He goes, that looks benign. But he goes, we're going to get rid of it. All right. No problem. Like, and I'm thinking, and by the way, I'm sitting
I'll have to make a repeat trip to this place.
I'm sitting there in just my underwear. And he has this particular doctor. There's like 8,000 doctors in this practice. Mm-hmm. He started the practice 40 something years ago. It's a very big medical practice.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, plastic surgery and stuff too. I should have had him check me out for some of that. But anyway, so he has an assistant that he brings with him into the room. Like the assistant, she just like follows him around and she prepares stuff and she types things on the tablet or whatever they have.
Yeah. Words with friends.
His assistant is a good looking girl.
No.
I'm sitting there, man boobs hanging out, sitting there just with my little paper blanket thing. I'm just like, really? You bring her in. But anyway, I digress. So he looks, you know, yeah, it looks benign. Yeah, I see the thing in your head. Okay, no problem. We'll get rid of it. And I'm expecting like, okay, well, you know, let's talk about this. Maybe we say, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Like maybe I wouldn't even be surprised if they were like, you know what? We got to schedule a follow-up
appointment. You go home and Google it.
Yeah. So yeah, I can, you know, what do you do though? Like seriously, all of a sudden he's got a shot. He's got a shot in his hand. He gets up on I'm sitting on the exam table. He gets up on it. He's not a tall man. He gets up on a little bench and like starts sticking it in my head. Then it's like no discussion whatsoever. I'm like, what are you sticking?
Well,
in
you
my head?
Said, okay, Rob, that was explicit permission.
I guess so. And then he grabs. And so he's jabbing in my head and then he comes down to my leg. He's jabbing my birthmark on my leg. And then he gets out what, like, it looks like to me like a fucking X-Acto knife or something.
Yeah, a little
like
circular saw thing.
Yeah, well, it like slides out. It's a plastic thing. It slides out. And he's just hacking away. He's cutting my leg because you put the liquid in the leg and it makes it kind of bubble out a little bit. He's sitting there just cutting. I'm just like, okay, well, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. It. I'm glad it was over with. It's just kind of sore now, but it was just very... It was very weird. And then, you know, I'm like, I feel like I just had surgery. And then
do I need to ride home?
Then he like leaves. He's like, all right, see you next. Like, you know, we'll bill you later. And then the assistant's like, yeah, we'll see you in a year. What? She's like, oh, no. She says if, you know, it's because it looks, you know, he's like, I don't have any concerns, but I, but he goes, we'll set it down for pathology just in case. And we'll let you know. She's like, yeah, if there's something wrong with it. Yeah, so it's got to chew on it.
Chew on it a little bit. Yeah,
it doesn't taste like cancer. Yeah. So anyway. So he leaves. She's like, yeah, you know, we'll call you if there's any issues, and we'll see you. We'll see you in a year. What do I got to do in a year? She's like, well, you know, you should come down and get a body scan again. I'm like, I'm just thinking, well, can you not come? You're making me very uncomfortable.
You come back, and we'll do this all over again.
Does he have any uglier assistants? Maybe she could. That assistant, or he, even better, if you got a guy, you know, sign me up for the guy assistant.
Cut out some more skin next time.
When I have to get down to my undershorts.
Oh, man.
So anyway.
That's fun.
Yeah, so there's random shit for this week. Enjoy.
Well, the good thing is,
that. Sorry
it is done.
I made you sick to my stomach, your stomach.
Yeah, it's done, though. So it's over with. You don't have to worry about it unless they call
you. Yeah, no, I feel very, you hope I feel, not hear from them. Very good about it. Oh, they got like a hole in my leg now. It's like a fucking hole there. They're like, yeah, put Vaseline in it twice a day. She goes, yeah, you got to wear a Band-Aid until at least tonight. I'm like, there's a fucking hole in my leg. I'm wearing a Band-Aid longer than that. I don't have my leg leaking all over my suits.
It's oozing.
Yeah, the Band-Aids are not coming off clean at this point. I'm just like, yeah, I don't want that.
Now I need anyway, you gotta go back for stitches.
Yeah, they should have given me sutures. Right there, it feels like a decent section of my leg's been carved out.
Breathe right nasal strip and stick it across.
I'm like, he just fucking sawed part of my leg off. I'm like, he might as well have amputated it.
Now does your head have a big hole in it too?
I'm being melodramatic now. Well, it's hard to
you can't see
know,
it.
No, because it was just a little. It was just a little bump thing, yeah. And he says, "Yeah, you know, it's
ingrown hair."
Yeah, and he says, "You know, there's a little blood vessel in there. That's why he goes. I bet you because I nick it when I shave my head." And he's like, "Yeah, you know, it probably bleeds a good amount because there's a blood vessel in there." But I mean, that's like this, like right. I don't know if you can see the red spot. No. Where the hell is it? Over here somewhere.
Right there.
Yep. Yeah, you see it. See, that's just a little spot. Yeah. My leg. I'm not gonna show you.
Okay, good. Keep your pants on.
I mean, I feel like at 150 episodes, we can start, you know, disrobing in front of each other and not being weird. But I'd rather not. Because you know, it's time. We're doing
take it slow.
For time. We're not even the crazy news yet. I'm not even done talking about random shit. No, actually, I am.
I'm done. All right. Well, we'll move on. Like, when you got home from all this, was there any understanding of the trauma you had just experienced? Did anybody, you know, did dinner wait for you on that day?
I don't remember what we had to eat that day, no. Wednesday. No, I feel like
that was the day your slippers should have been ready for you and a nice hot meal on the table. But
I think it was pizza that day or something.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since you had pizza.
Shit. Yeah, I had pizza twice this week. Fucking tub of lard here. So anyway, I got to drink some more beer. How much do you want to do this one so I can drink beer? And not to mention, I see that the next story is from Popular Mechanics, and they were a real hoot last time. So
friends of the show.
Friends of the show, Popular Mechanics.
I did that on purpose.
Oh, well, very nice.
Oh, man. Well, this one tells us, it comes from our friends here at Inside Nova, where a partially clothed burglar armed with a pitchfork breaks into a Stafford home.
Yes, that's exactly the perfect weapon.
A pitchfork. Authorities say a pitchfork wielding burglar was arrested Sunday morning after breaking into a Stafford County home, attacking a resident and then struggling with deputies as they tried to arrest her.
She's hot.
Deputies were called to a home in Stafford County. I don't live in Stafford County, but it's not too far. Millbrook subdivision just before 4:30 a.m. That's kind of like the UP of Northern Virginia, where they learned a partially naked, muddy woman had forced to open the door of a home while armed with a pitchfork.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you said this wasn't the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're barbarians up there.
Yep. The suspect was not known to anyone who lives at the home. The resident suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries in the attack. Stafford County Sheriff's Office said in a news release. The suspect then fled to a nearby residence and was led inside when the homeowner thought she needed assistance. The deputies arrived. The woman attacked them, the release said. Deputies utilized the taser during the arrest, but it did not seem to have any effect on the suspect.
Shot her in the face. Yep. She died of COVID.
Three deputies were assaulted while attempting to take the woman into custody. Having difficulty with words today. The deputies are all fine, the sheriff's office said, though one of them was treated at the hospital and released. Deputies charged Madison Snyder, 31, of Cortland, I don't know where that is, with burglary with a deadly weapon, breaking and entering with a deadly weapon, aggravated malicious wounding, and three counts of assault on law enforcement officer, the sheriff's office said. There's a lot of words there.
Do you feel like garden implements should be considered deadly weapons?
I was thinking about that.
It should have its own separate category. Yeah. Burglary with a garden implement.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying, aggravated malicious wounding
with a landscaping instrument.
With the landscaping tool.
She was also wanted for outstanding charges in Kansas and York County, Virginia. State of Kansas, not there's no Kansas County, Virginia, thankfully. Thank you. Snyder is being held without bond at the Rappahannock Regional Jail. The investigation continues, in case you were wondering.
Oh, it's just just on the lam?
Yep. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great. They ever held in Guantanamo?
Yeah. Well, no, we're closing that.
This is yeah, that's right. They are. That's, I like that's the, too bad. They should put just her there, though.
Yeah. Yep. Send Gillian by down there to cover the muddy pitchfork beat.
Exactly. So, by the way, I've finished my peanut butter poet.
Yeah.
It was very good beer.
Yeah.
And I moved on to a Devil Dog oatmeal stout from Roke, which I have had on the show before. I had had an episode 26 beer helmet. Really going back into the archives here with this one. And it's been a while since I've had this beer, but it was part of the 6-pack that I built with the Peanut Butter Poet, and it's a good one. I forget what I rated at that time, but it's a fan. I'm a fan, and Roke is from Royal Oak, Michigan, so they're pretty local. I don't think they distribute all that widely, though. But anyway.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show, Roke, that I bought with the 6-pack with Friends of the Show, New Holland. And now we're going to go on to read a story by our friends of the show, Popular Mechanics. Where, oh boy, she accidentally used Gorilla Glue to style her hair. It didn't go well.
Did you hear about this at all?
So this is the funny thing. I saw the headline in passing, but it was at work either yesterday or today.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was super busy. I'm always super busy, but yesterday and today, it was both very busy days. And so I didn't have time to really read the story.
That's a good one.
But I'm glad I did it because, you know, I like to learn as I'm reading. I don't like to read stuff. Holy shit. This check here that I've already read.
She made a bad choice, Rob. Her life decisions were not in her favor.
No, not at all. It says, we can't help this woman unstick her hair, but we can help you remove super glue from anything else. So this, again, this is a learning opportunity for everybody here. And if you look at this chick that is on, it's a TikTok picture. She's got a problem. Oh, I got to watch the TikTok video. So it's a tweet that shows a TikTok video, and it says this woman put Gorilla Glue in her hair, and now it's stuck in this one style. Hold on, let me look at this. Have you seen this video?
Yeah, they get the upbringing.
Oh my God. She said, my hair's been like this for about a month. It's not my choice.
Here, I'll get this video.
Oh, she didn't.
All right, Sarah.
Yeah, so she didn't. So she ran out of her regular hair stuff and said, I'll just use Gorilla Glue instead. All right, great. So said Tessica Brown. Has been in a bit of a sticky situation, no pun intended, actually, for the past month. As she recently confessed on TikTok, Brown usually concludes her daily hair regimen by applying some got-to-be-glued styling spray. Now, it's a styling spray that has the word glue in it,
right?
Not the other way around. As a finishing touch, but when her bottle recently ran out, she grabbed what seemed like the next best thing to stick down her hair, Gorilla Glue spray adhesive. And I use Gorilla Glue. If you have something that you really just need to stick together, Gorilla Glue, holy shit.
Gorilla You're talking glue like me now. We're both having strokes.
Gorilla Glue is really good for that because it's a really strong glue. Yeah. And I've never used adhesive spray, but I can imagine. They probably advertise it as super strong adhesive and don't put it in your hair.
They're getting ready to tell you how they advertise it.
Bad, bad, bad idea, she admitted in the instantly viral video below. Turns out the Gorilla Glue worked exactly as advertised, forming a clear, permanent bond that is moisture resistant and can be used on projects both indoors and out, according to Gorilla Glue's website. Now, Brown's hair has been stuck in the same style ever since, even after she washed it 15 times. Whoops. The good people on the internet have been trying to help Brown fix her mistake, and even Gorilla Glue pitched in with solid advice. We're staying posted to see if Gorilla Glue's tips work and if Brown can undo the very embarrassing and okay, kind of hilarious blunder. And while we unfortunately can't offer help with this specific predicament, we can provide some expertise when it comes to best glue practices, namely how to remove super glue, the instant bond nature of super glue, cyanoacrylate glue. Yep. Has made the go-to glue for quickly fixing virtually any broken, cracked, separated, or loose part. Super glue crystals dry clear almost instantaneously and forms an incredibly strong bond. However, the very property that makes super glue special, its ability to dry in seconds, is also its biggest drawback. If you accidentally get super glue on your fingers or mistakenly drip some onto an unintended surface, it dries so darn quickly, there's no time to wipe it off. So here are some tips and techniques for removing super glue from skin from a few different smooth surfaces. Be aware, however, that no single method works every time. So you'll likely have to try two or more techniques to remove unwanted super glue.
That's a lot of techniques for removing glue after this. It is popular mechanics, by the way.
Yeah, so I mean I'll summarize it.
Don't do it.
Because, you know. You know what? If you want to know how to remove it from services, just read the fucking story. We'll link to it in the show notes. You know, there's different things that you can put on the services, try to remove it, that you shouldn't use on your skin as well.
Yeah, not recommended.
You can soak the glue with lemon juice for 10 minutes or so. It'd smell nice, too.
I mean, she tried to use soap. She did a whole bunch of stuff on it. She eventually got some help, but still one of those things. You just have to wonder what people are thinking sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you need to figure out a way to shave your hair off and just start from scratch at that point. Like, I mean, there's no, you're not saving that hair.
No,
get a wig. You'll be all right.
Well, we haven't been to Florida yet, Rob. And I don't know if you know that.
Story number three. Haven't been to Florida yet. It's a problem. Let me guess. We're going there now, though.
We are.
Fantastic.
This one takes us to our friends at thefolkspaper.com. Where a Florida man turns his dead uncle's skeleton into a playable guitar, says his uncle will be smiling up from hell.
Oh, Jesus.
A Florida musician claims his late uncle will be smiling up from hell after turning his skeleton into a working electric guitar. Philip Annex passed away in 1996. But little did he have any idea that after his passing, his nephew, Iago Annex, would be making a musical instrument out of his remains.
Fucked up.
Iago says that although his uncle was buried in Greece, that's the country of Greece, not in a tub of Greece, he was repatriated from his native burial plot because it had become too expensive. Since the Greek Orthodox Church does not appreciate the idea of cremation, Iago decided he needed to figure out a way to dispose of his late uncle's remains. So when he received his uncle's skeleton, he decided to process it into an instrument. As any normal person would do, 41-year-old rocker who goes under the moniker Prince Midnight said it took him several weeks of drilling and snapping to tune the skeleton into a playable instrument. Seems legit. He put the guitar neck through the rib cage and connected it electrically to his hip bones. Spine bone, however, was too shaky, so he fixed it with some steel rods and brackets to ensure the stable tuning. As Iago ultimately finished the project, he tested the guitar for its sounds and claimed that it works just as fine as a regular one. Iago insists that the guitar is a perfect way to honor Philip, who passed away in a tragic car accident when he was only 28. Philip was a bit of a goofball, but he was very serious about guitar and heavy metal. I built the guitar as an homage to my uncle, an homage to my uncle and his influence on me as a heavy metal guitar player. As Prince Monkey or something. He claimed the reaction to his gruesome yet impressively technical creation has been wholly positive. That seems like that would have been popular mechanics. Not the glue.
Well, you know, I don't know if popular mechanics is in the business of, you know, how to turn your dead relatives into a guitar. What I'm trying to figure out is where do the strings go? Like, where? What do you pluck? You know, I don't even want to know. It's too bad there's not video of him playing this thing, though.
I'm going to save this art.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah, so if you're in the business of turning your, trying to figure out what to do with your dead relatives' remains, you know, check it out. And, you know, just go to Florida. They know what to do with that stuff. They're crazy down there.
That's pretty gross. Are they soldering it, putting the wires through it?
Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of work to it, I suppose. You know, you can give him credit for that. A for effort, buddy.
I guess.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny. So we're going to Amsterdam.
Oh, good.
Yes, yeah, who's
been wanting to go.
From Daily Mail, says, who is Mr. Frosty? Dutch cops investigate murder, only to discover the victim is a snowman. Police in Amsterdam, thinking they had uncovered a cold-blooded murderer, were left in hysterics after discovering their victim was, in fact, a snowman. Officers patrolling the Dutch city's Oosterpark area on Tuesday went to investigate after discovering what they had thought was a body lying on the floor. But when they didn't see the carrot sticking out his fucking nose.
His corncob pipe.
But when they approached the chilling scene, they discovered the ice victim was, in fact, a snowman that had been built laying down on its back. On Tuesday evening, officers were in a car, were patrolling through the Oosterpark until they suddenly saw a person lying lifeless on the ground in the distance.
Oh, no.
Yep. A victim of a crime? Did someone get unwell? After four colleagues approached the body, they saw the police tape or an ambulance would not be needed. It was actually a handsome piece of snow art, including a carrot nose. At least the colleagues could laugh a lot about it. Police have yet to trace the creators of the snowman, presumably because the trail has gone cold. Oh boy, the Netherlands, much like much of Europe, has been shivering through a February cold snap. It's pushed temperatures to near record lows. A temperature of 20.5 Celsius, which I don't know what that is in real temperature,
was logged. I don't know.
Alexa, what is negative 20.5 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit?
Minus 20.5 degrees Celsius is minus 4.9 degrees Fahrenheit.
Pretty good, Robert.
See?
Hey, look at you.
Look at that.
Man. Know that. What is it in Kelvin? A temperature of negative 4.9 degrees.
On her, so she doesn't do that because it was pissing me off.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the instant where it would continue listening. On talking after you asked.
Yeah.
No, not going to work.
You don't like that?
No.
So follow-up mode or whatever it's called. But a temperature of negative 20.5 degrees Celsius or negative 4.9 degrees Fahrenheit was logged in Egmond and Z. Yep, 25 miles from Amsterdam on Wednesday night. And forecasters are expecting that to dip even lower at the weekend. The cold weather has also brought heavy snow. I'm going to just keep reading. Heavy snow across the country, driven by Storm Darcy. Did you get hit by Storm Darcy over in Virginia?
No, we haven't got hit with nothing.
Well, Robert, you may not know this, but Storm Darcy is a force to be reckoned with. It's forced individuals to declare a code red emergency earlier this week.
We closed schools because it was cold, even though the kids are virtual.
Code red. The country's first official snowstorm since 2010, meaning heavy snow combined with gale force winds struck on Sunday, forcing all train services to be suspended. So if you're, Robert, if you're expecting to take the train from wherever the fuck Darcy,
Amsterdam. No way,
that's the name of the storm. Wherever this is into Amsterdam, you may not be able to because of the code red from the snowstorm Darcy. Dozens of flights were delayed or canceled at Schiphol Airport, while Eindhoven Airport scrapped all services. So if you were planning on flying out of Eindhoven.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to Eindhoven.
You might want to think twice. Huh. I think it's all Spirit over there. Who wants to fly that?
Virgin.
All trains were canceled, including international services from Germany, to Germany.
Right.
While a tram derailed in the snow in the Hague. Motorists were also told to Hague.
Yeah.
Motorists were also told to avoid traveling as more than 80 cars were reported to have skidded off the road. They're all driving on the left side of the road, right, though.
Wrong so that's side. That's why.
They were on the wrong side of the road, so that's what happened. Yep. Most parts of the country had between 2 and 4 inches of snow. So they say temperature in Celsius and snow in inches. But some areas received 12 inches, which is a whole foot.
Right.
Public broadcaster NOS said.
Alexa, how many degrees Celsius is 4 inches?
Degrees Celsius cannot be converted to inches. Degrees Celsius measure temperature, while inches measure length.
Oh.
Well, I know when it gets really cold, it gets smaller lengthwise.
You bet. Enjoy your evening.
Oh. You bet.
Alexa, can you add penis measuring stick to my shopping list?
I've put penis measuring stick on your shopping list.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It'll be there in 2 days.
Of course.
See, she's mad that I turned off the follow-up mode, so she's very sassy these days.
She's
Robert.
Kind of an asshole. Bitch. Why is there somebody at my door again? Holy shit balls.
You got more Amazon?
It's like a fucking party out there tonight, Robert.
Is it Harrison?
I don't even know who's out there. I don't even see anything. Oh, I hate this when it gives you, you want to check, but that says, oh, hold on, we're processing the video.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
No, please wait. The video's not ready yet. Well, why'd you tell me?
Or somebody's already logged in looking at it because Kelly's looking at it.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go. Let's see what's going on. I don't even see anything. Craziest thing. Oh, there's somebody walking down the street. Why am I getting a motion notification for somebody on the sidewalk? It's not supposed to look at the sidewalk. Oh, well. Anyway, look at that later. Where are you going now, Robert?
I don't know what we got going on. All I see is it's warning graphic images, so that's the part that I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. This text is to our friends at themirror.co.uk, so that's practically England, where a woman wakes up from a boob job to find out the doctors made her bum a terrifying size instead. And that's all you really need to know. Clinical psychologist Lyubov Laufer, 45, says botched plastic surgery left her buttocks a terrifying size and so traumatized she cannot sleep in the same room as her husband. That part I feel bad about. Woman says her life has been ruined after she went to a plastic surgeon for a 4,000-pound breast-shaping surgery and came out with an enlarged bum she did not want. Clinical psychologist, I already read that part, said the botched procedure left her with wonky boobs and mental trauma. The mom of three, I've lost everything, my job and my family, as I cannot sleep in the same room as my husband. The problem started when she went for successful treatment to remove the breast implants after 7 years due to inflammation. The surgeon persuaded her to subsequently undergo lipofilling, grafting her own fat to improve the shape, she says. And there's the picture. And then it's a bunch of ads. Yeah. Minutes before the treatment, she was told the medic's colleagues would perform surgery. She cried about the change in doctor, but went ahead discussing with the medic where the fat would be removed from. If there was excess, she agreed it would go to her buttocks, but was appalled when she realized how big they had become after the operation. The procedure lasted 5 hours, and she woke in excruciating pain and required oxygen as she suffered convulsions. I felt horror when I saw myself, a huge fear in my soul about how I would live with it. Everything froze in me. I woke up with my buttocks a terrifying size that I had not asked for. Oh, man. This goes on about the buttocks. I don't think I can read the rest.
Her spouse says her husband's afraid to hug her, though.
What?
I don't know. Apparently, he's a boob guy. I can't even hug you. Your ass is too big. And by the way, I'm looking at a picture of it. Her ass is not that big.
Oh, it's bleak.
I can't even touch you. Don't even get in my bed.
What a weirdo.
I know. I feel bad for this lady because I think that her husband's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, she did it all for him at the end of the day, yeah. And then he decided, well, I'm going to reject you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if she needs somewhere to sleep, you know, she can pick between our two houses. It's fine.
Man.
A little bit of junk in the trunk isn't that bad.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking it's one of those things where I think everybody has things about themselves that they feel self-conscious about, and hopefully it was something that if she decided she wanted to change, it's not because he made her do it. But sounds like that wasn't the case.
Well, enough of this, Robert. Let's talk about something serious.
Yeah, something serious. I'm hungry. How about you?
I am. I'm so hungry I could eat a urinal cake. Hold on. I gotta drink some beer first.
you gotta moisten the palate before you chug those urinal cakes.
Oh, shit.
Now, are they soft, or do they have a crunch to them? Or are they kind of do they melt in your mouth?
Of a urinal cake, but yeah. I can imagine they're probably hard because they go, you know, they got to survive at the bottom of a right. urinal.
All that splashing?
They last a little while. So, yeah. So I feel like, you know, constantly being peed on, you know, that they can't be too soft.
It's not like cotton candy where you put it in your mouth and it dissolves.
Which, by the way, no. And this is completely has nothing to do with anything we're talking about right now. So they opened this Chick-fil-A up,
yeah.
and I've been thinking, I'm like, it'd be nice to stop there. Maybe on my way to work, on my way home from work. But every time I drive by, the drive-thru is two lanes.
They'll still get you in and out of there in less than 5 minutes, Rob.
I don't know.
That's how the one is here.
It's around. It's ridiculous.
Because nobody's inside.
They have people outside taking orders, though.
They do here with tents. Online.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can still get through there. They have so many people working all the time so that you don't wait. The line comes out. It wraps around. It goes all the way down past the bank, yeah. And then it turns down. It goes down to the street. It's a crazy-ass line, but you can go in there. It'll take you 5 minutes to get through it. They got all the walkie-talkies. They got the little tablets that send the order in, and then you put the order into one person, then you go to the next person that does your payment. It's a process. They got it down.
We'll see.
They say, my pleasure.
I don't know, Robert. We'll have to. I'm sold.
You got to try it.
I'll have to. I was just kind of waiting. I'm like, all right, once like the hype.
It won't. It's like that every day.
I feel like. It's like well, yeah. And by the way, the road that I take, it's. You know, depending where it is, it's four or five lanes of traffic in both directions.
Yeah.
And so like it's just like it's a big retail corridor that I travel down to get to work and back. And so there's just there's always a million cars right there, and they're all just passing right by that Chick-fil-A. So
is it close enough for you to get there, or do you have to do it like when you're on work days? So could you go tomorrow, let's say, and get breakfast?
I could go, and I can probably from my house get there in at 10 minutes, maybe. Okay. I mean, it's not that far away.
The breakfast is good. You wouldn't think having chicken for breakfast is good, but it is.
I do have to go into the office for a little bit tomorrow. Yeah, I'm supposed to be behaving myself.
Nobody knows.
Isn't going.
If it's so just hot, you, does anybody hear it?
No, if a tree falls in the woods,
right.
Nobody's around, that's what I mean. Make a sound. Yeah, exactly.
If there's nobody there to shame you, are you really shamed?
I shame myself after I'm done eating my delicious breakfast. But
well,
anyway.
Well, speaking of shame, I got in trouble because you said don't basement shame me. And I got a lecture about not basement shaming you, about how great it is to have a basement like you have. And when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. I tuned her out after that when she started barking at me for basement shaming you. When I live in this filth here with wires and boxes and everywhere, I got a spot for my chair, which she didn't bring up, by the way. I thought for sure. But she's like, you don't shame him. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, Melissa's really came to my rescue on that
she
one.
Did. She did. She's like the Colin.
Yeah. Like
she's your Colin.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
you're going to swear to Bob K?
Yeah. She's your Colin.
Exactly. Because I jokingly mentioned in our group chat, like, you know, the basement's
I thought it was funny.
Then, dirty. Then I always try to straighten it up before I record because Robert basement shaved me. Oh, that's awesome. So, all right.
Finally, could you just get on with it?
Finally, some real news from our friends at World News Daily Report. One of the few news sources that make every single episode of the Two Bobs. That's how you know. That's how good they are.
Yep.
High quality shit here. All right. This is going to say, this one's about the binge eater. A binge eater who was hospitalized, and he was not eating Chick-fil-A, but he was hospitalized after gobbling up more than 30 pounds of urinal deodorizers, also known as urinal cakes. A man suffering from an eating disorder was hospitalized in critical condition last night after his cravings led to ingest more than 60 deodorizer blocks designed for toilets. 64-year-old Marius Hansen from Freeport in Illinois works as a janitor in a retirement home, and he was found unconscious around 11 p.m. last night by one of his co-workers. I can imagine. I don't know how bad it is for you to ingest a urinal cake. I can't imagine... It's good for you, though. He's known for suffering from binge eating disorder, also known as BED, which is where he spends his day, has led him to eat compulsively several things on his work site in the past, including toilet paper, plastic syringes, disposable diapers, and even a couple of mops heads, says in the story. Eric Frazier, the colleague who found him inert next to an empty box of chemical deodorizer, says he immediately realized what had happened. Oh, no. There were dozens of blocks missing from the box, and his breath stank of perfume and chemicals. I felt like throwing up, but I knew he would die if I did nothing. Mr. Frazier rapidly called 911 before performing a heart massage on his colleague until the paramedics arrived at a few minutes later. The colleague, who apparently is a security guard, massaged his heart, which I believe is something that maybe a cardiologist or somebody with advanced training in would do. I was terrified. His mouth was foaming and his eyes kept rolling. Just before the ambulance arrived, he woke up and began vomiting some kind of pink perfume cooing coffee bubbles. Luckily, Mr. Hansen was transported to the hospital. Luckily, they took him to the hospital.
Right.
Where they didn't have him go to the dermatologist and cut his check out of his lung. Where doctors were rapidly able to stabilize him and treat his poisoning. And good thing he didn't die of COVID from this. He had even regained consciousness this morning and suffered from no apparent consequences
right.
from his ordeal. Every year, thousands of Americans are hospitalized due to the consequences of binge eating disorder, estimated around 90,000 people across the U.S. 90,000 people. I don't know anybody with bed, though. While most of these cases involve actual food or at least edible items, I guess I do have bed then. Yeah. Put some cheeses in front of me and bed. Several dozen cases every year involve non-edible or even poisonous products. Over the last few years, some cases have involved things such as various as foam padding, CDs. Compact discs,
right?
Cigarette butts, nail varnish, and even light bulbs. Ouch. Even if most victims are able to survive and even cure of bed, more than 300...
Binge eating disorder, Rob.
Now, this is a rough sentence. Even if most victims are able to survive and even cure of bed, more than 300 Americans die every year from eating dangerous or poisonous items. Oh, man.
That's true.
From our friends at World News Daily Report, home of all the real news, and including the couple of virus rights activists who voluntarily catches coronavirus to save it from WHO genocide. Oh, boy. Amateur divers find long lost nuclear warhead. That one's not really funny. But how about this? From Ohio, naked man and crystal meth bites 28 people at Walmart store.
That happens also every day.
Also known as man goes to Walmart.
Yep. Walmart man.
How about this? The man locked inside of a supermarket for a night eats $8,000 worth of food. Wonder if he had just been fired from Krispy Kreme.
That's right. What if Krispy Kreme has urinal cakes?
I don't know. Would you eat them?
I would.
What if urinal cakes were made out of Krispy Kreme donuts?
That's what I was just thinking. And we're supposed to get an ice storm, so I'm not sure if I'm going to head out there to get some.
Oh, you're going to get an ice storm tomorrow morning or overnight?
Yeah, overnight. Well, I don't know. No. Alexa, what's the weather for today?
Currently, it's 31 degrees Fahrenheit with cloudy skies. Tonight, you can expect icy weather with a low of 26 degrees.
Yeah. Alexa, what's the weather for tomorrow?
Look for snowy weather with a high of 29 degrees Fahrenheit and a low of 29 degrees.
Storm Darcy's on her way.
Yeah, Darcy. Oh, well,
tomorrow in Darcy, Florida, you'll see thunderstorms and can expect a high of 80 degrees Fahrenheit and a low of 69 degrees.
Virginia. Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Sorry, I didn't get that location.
Get a code red.
Tampa, Florida.
Storm Darcy.
Right now in Tampa, Florida, it's 73 degrees Fahrenheit with mostly cloudy skies. Tonight's forecast has cloudy skies with a low of 67 degrees.
Amsterdam.
Alexa, add breast implants to my shopping list.
I've added frosted flakes to your shopping list.
Well, then, now we know what breast implants are really made of. All right. Well, great. This has been a great episode. Episode 150, one of the best so far.
Yeah, that's right. That's episode 149.
What? You know, depending on how you're keeping count.
I was drunk. Boy.
Yeah, we should. This is also probably a good opportunity to remind our listeners that you can find us on the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. You can go to thetwobobs.com. It's our website where we have all of our episodes where you can listen. We have our list of all the beers we've been drinking along the way here. A lot of good stuff on the website. And we have a phone number as well.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes, we do. Elderly listener, esteemed guest and colleague of the Two Bobs.
It's not on payroll, though.
No. The number is 530-882-BOBS, which if you are the elderly listener and don't know how to do that on your jitterbug, it's 530-882-2627. Dial it up. Send us a text. Leave us a voicemail if you don't like to hear your voice. But, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, love to hear from you.
See you next week.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.